This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So Scott's parents came and visited for Memorial Day, had one humdinger of a barbecue, and Scott, at the end of the week, a week removed, hypothetical for you, would you be, you would obviously be happy that they moved back for Stella, but what about you? Would you be happy being in such close proximity? Should they find a place in Sparks? I know they kept bringing up they loved Sparks.
Yeah, I've thought about that. I don't know if I would, like, just get desensitized to it or readjust. I mean, it's fine when I visit them. It's fine. And I love them. And it was a good visit. And I was happy to see them. But I don't know. I just, the way they exist sometimes is just drives me crazy with, like, the bickering and the nitpicking of every last little thing and the nothing's ever a yes end situation. It's always some sort of, I don't know. So I don't know what would happen. Like, even, and my mom's, like, very intense, but, like, in a good way. She's just very, like, A type, like, take charge, you know, get stuff done, go get her. And, like, even towards the end of it, like, Sandy was, like, shooting me looks like they are just, it's a lot to handle. So if they were here, I don't know what would happen.
You know what I noticed, though, that I thought about it before, if my dad and brother lived closer, that don't do that I liked is, yeah, okay, they're heavy duty personalities. And I'm sorry, Paul, if you're listening to this, every conversation at this point is what is ailing you.
Health.
Everything. I could be talking about carpentry and he will somehow bring up scoliosis or mesothelioma or rickets or dander, something. Anything. It's got to get back to
and
health.
It's and not
I did,
them,
but I did notice your two parents doing that.
Oh, God.
They seem to be in pretty good shape.
Oh, that's all they do. Are
really?
You kidding me?
Man, maybe they're putting on a good face for it.
Diabetes, pre-diabetes, prostates, eyes, hearing aids, this. And if it's not them, it's which one of their friends is now sick. And it's
like, did you hear about Merle?
Yeah.
Did you hear about Merle? Oh, well, we had Scott's parents in town for the week. We loved them. Scott tolerated them. And you always love hearing about them. On Behind the Curtain.
Coming off an interesting Memorial Day weekend. Parents were in town, had a good time. Of course, the news of Ellicottet kind of put a damper on things.
Yeah.
We're kind of bummed, but, you know, overall, good weekend.
Yeah, Ron came to town, Rita came to town, and we had ourselves, or should I say, the Reardons, one humdinger of a house party. But it's going down. Damn red carpet. Oh, my God. Making their way down the red carpet, three-time Murrow Award winner Josh Spiegel wearing his spring best.
Oh, first one to arrive.
And Josh, who's there behind him? Is that Lowell Melzer? Is that Lowell?
I like to be prompt.
Oh, yes.
He brought a couple of fruit trays with him.
Oh, so refreshing. I was housing that fruit.
I didn't want to be killed.
And is that, is that Keith Mills?
Yeah.
Keith Mills making his way over to the Reardon Gala.
Couldn't get him out of there.
Oh, my God. How late did he stay?
Late.
Oh, no.
He was talking to my father-in-law the whole time.
Well, I think it's time for us to get to bed, Keith. It's 2 a.m. So, maybe anyway,
I don't know what time
leave.
It was when he showed up.
Get the
but he house. Stayed for a good number of hours.
Yeah, he went inside of your home.
Anytime you can go inside something, it's a pretty cool thing.
I'm like just, your bedroom.
I'm just glad that he came after I left. Oh. That was a good thing.
Two ships passing in the night. You know what he was doing? He was giving the Keith old man back slap. Michael, if you wouldn't mind standing up for the cameras here real quick. He was doing this right here, which I know you hate. Everybody saw Mike Anderson, good to see you. Wham! And I mean, just leaving handprints on people's backs. And I know when he does that to you, he knocks your spine out of alignment.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. I thought it was a good party.
Yeah, it was a great party, man.
A lot of kids.
So many
damn
kids.
Damn, things have changed.
Yeah, that's
I tallied
a lot
it up.
Different.
I think there was like 10 or 11 or 12 kids or something like that running around at one point.
Ugh,
someone handed me a baby. I didn't ask for the baby. They just handed me the baby.
Josh just had a baby at some point. We don't know who it was.
I held the baby.
It was a great shot of you holding a dog, too.
Yeah, and then somebody handed me a Pomeranian. And I didn't ask to hold the Pomeranian either. So I was, look, I'm happy to help.
Josh, hold the dog. I know. You're just so known as the dog guy. I said that to Josh. I found there was a Pomeranian there by the name of Chewy.
Yeah.
I found Chewy the Pomeranian. I said, Josh, hold this dog. And that face is, I didn't want to hold this dog. I was eating the fruit that I hope all of you would eat. It's something funny. I'm not sure if you would have seen this, but Rita's just, she's floating around the room like the social butterfly that she is. And everyone's clinking drinks and finger guns. And every time I talk to Ron, and I try to engage, I always talk to Rita, but I never feel like I get any Ron time.
Yeah.
I was trying to talk to Ron, and he'd constantly do this thing in the middle of talking to me where, pleasant as a peach, but he'd somehow wedge in this thing where he'd give you the thumb like, hey, you know, things are good in Florida. If it wasn't for this guy here. And he's like thumbing in your direction. He kept doing this. Hey, this guy over here. I was like, you mean the son that bought a home and has a successful family
career? What do you mean? What do you mean?
I don't know what he meant. He kept going, this guy over here. Like, oh, boy. You never know what you're going to get around of this fella. No matter what the subject was.
What?
I'm telling you, I was talking to him about, hey, we talked to Rita on the air, and there's a possibility you guys might relocate closer to the area. I'd love to have you guys closer.
Right, you're just trying to have a conversation.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I would if it wasn't for this guy over here. It's so weird.
I don't know, man.
He did it at least three times.
God bless him.
I love him to death. I mean, he wasn't saying anything disparaging.
No, I know. I just think that was his bit. He gets nervous, and he can be socially awkward.
Ron, do you know where the...
He's more of a wallflower.
Where the bathroom is? I haven't been here before. Yeah, you can take a on this guy if you need to. Just all over him. Where's the fruit?
Yeah. Oh, it was a beautiful time. And I think you guys, because you guys came in to get food. And did you hear me and my mom and dad in the kitchen at one point kind of, I don't want to say yelling at each other, but engaged in a heated discussion?
Was it about Sparks, Maryland?
No, because we were in the middle of it. And then I turned around to like walk out and you guys were like right by the food table inside the house. And you kind of did like the, oh, just getting some fruit, man.
Yeah.
Wasn't listening to it. And it was about tomatoes. Like my mom was slicing
tomatoes.
Yeah, my mom was getting stuff ready for like the hamburgers, uh-huh. Right? She was getting some lettuce ready, some onions ready.
Grill Master Rita.
And some tomatoes ready. And you know, doing what we do, and Justin, you've taught me this over the years.
All right.
You gotta be a yes and person.
Yes.
When you do a show, like it helps further the bit. It helps things progress. Tina Fey even brings it up in her episode with David Letterman. It's an improv, trick.
See where the conversation or the bit goes by yes anding, agreeing with wherever it's going,
and agreeing. It's a great word. Never happens with my dad. Ever. There's never a yes end.
I love him so much.
It's always, he's always a contrarian. It's always contradicting. It's always why not? If I heard why not more time this weekend, I was going to blow my head off.
Yeah.
She was just slicing tomatoes like the way you would slice a tomato.
For a burger.
For a burger.
Okay.
And he had to give her the business about it. It was just...
What was she doing that he didn't like?
I don't know!
It's just such a simple procedure.
It's so simple!
I would get it if she wasn't using like a serrated edge.
I don't know.
That's not the type of knife you use, but you're cutting those way too thick, baby. You're cutting those
maybe too thick.
Way
I could have seen,
thick.
But it was, I don't even know what the hell he was saying. He's saying something about the seeds and a wagon wheel, and I'm just like, just let her cut the effing tomato.
Oh, God.
Why is everything an issue?
Oh, God, you know who caught her to cut tomatoes? This guy over here taught her to cut tomatoes.
It was a great visit. It really was. This was probably the best visit we've had because they had their own little space downstairs. They had their own pull-out cat, their own pull-out bed. They had their own bathroom, and it was... As far as and as intense as my parents can be, and I love them. Look, okay, don't text in or don't call in. I love my parents. But parents can drive you crazy, okay? But it's just so intense.
They're a bit overwhelming.
And it was the tomatoes, and it was just always... I'm trying to take them somewhere to maybe go eat, and it's like, well, why don't we just go to the supermarket and get...
We'll just get some vegetables and some pasta. We'll just stay here.
No,
we'll just stay
I want to show you the city, Dad. Let me show you the city.
And it's always the comments about my driving.
Oh, no.
Which
son,
I know
you're going
Anderson,
too fast.
Mike Anderson, if he could talk, would lump in on
He's
that.
He's laughing in the background right now. Mike, I'm going
to I took him to Pappas. Shout out Pappas.
Turn up.
My favorite crab cake in the city. The
Great
old school
staff.
One. Taylor Avenue. Old school. We pull into the parking lot, and I pull in and I park. And from the back seat, I hear,
Is this a parking spot? Is this a parking spot?
Yes!
What is it?
And I go, yes! I parked in a parking spot!
If that's what you want to call it.
Did you think I just pulled in and parked, like, not in a spot?
If this is what you want to call a parking spot.
I was like, what is happening?
I thought I raised you better.
It just seemed like... When you pulled in, it looked like you were sticking out a little bit. I thought it wasn't a parking.
Oh, yeah, God. I pulled in and I just parked right in the middle of the the middle of the thing.
I'm hoping not somebody clips spot. My bumper off. I hope to leave dinner and half my car is missing.
It's just driving me. And then, so then the last capper, and I can't really get on too much about this because you guys in here especially know that I've dealt with this problem.
You have a prostate the size of a gourd.
Yeah, and on the way to the airport, which is from my house to the airport, it's about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, making good time. We're driving, and we're about 10 minutes into the trip. I went down around 695. We're cutting, like, past Canton down to the airport.
How much longer is it going to be?
Uh-oh.
Why? What's the matter?
I got to pee. I don't think I can make it. We got to get off.
And I'm like, really? I'm like, it's.
I'll see.
So I just keep driving.
I'll try, but it's your interior.
And then he goes, I'm not going to make it. You gotta
get off.
I got to go now.
So I had to get off. We were actually on 895, so I had to get off, like, weave my way through Canton. I ended up at the Royal Farms on Boston Street, the one they just renovated, like Boston and 95 down there.
Yeah.
And we made it, and he goes to the bathroom.
Oh.
We get in the car. We get back on the road. I make it from the north side of the McHenry Tunnel. I get on 95 right at Boston Street, right
okay.
there. Cut through the tunnel. We get through the, like, other end of the tunnel. I'm getting on 295. We have been in the car maybe another 5 or 6 minutes.
How much longer it's going to be?
Oh, no.
I go, are you kidding?
Not again.
You can't get it all out. You go to pee, and you can't get it all out. I feel like I got to pee again.
Oh, no.
I go, we just got back in the... We've been in the car for 5 minutes.
You got to pull over. I'm going to...
I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it.
Oh, no.
I'm flying down 295 to get them to the airport. Mostly because I just want to kick him the hell out of the car and get rid of him.
Just push him
out. And so he can go pee again. He had to pee twice.
Oh,
in a matter of 30 minutes on a car ride to the airport. It felt terrible.
Oh.
But like I said, I've had prostate issues too, so I can't really throw too many stones because I know that feeling. But man, they're just getting old. My mom can't hear. She's got to get hearing aids.
Oh, wow.
Everything you say, she can't hear. TV is so loud.
What was that, honey?
Ugh.
I said, I love you.
They just bicker nonstop.
Who's
and you know what
you?
It is? And I see myself becoming my dad.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm just trying to rage against it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like an old bickering man. I want to be a yes and man.
A yes and. Yes and.
Yes and.
That's not how you make pasta
and.
Salad.
Because I see myself with Sandy. She'll want to do something and I'll always like kind of maybe...
Contrarian her?
Yeah, and I'm
do
like, I don't want
to go there.
I don't want to be that.
Children are running around and screaming, playing grab ass with one another.
Yeah.
Drinks are being clinked. Burgers are being grilled at Scott Reardon's new home. Beautifully done, by the way. The yard, gorgeous. Inside, I'd say you're 99% of the way there. I think you're almost done.
Yeah, you were pissed when you first walked in.
I was legitimately angry when I saw it. Like, oh, this is what a house looks like that's, like, really well done. My stairwell's about to collapse. Yeah,
yeah,
I got
walk around, you're like, I am pissed.
I'm mad. Like, I'm happy for you, but mad at the universe's energy.
Oh, you know, look. I'll be out of that place in 5 years. I've got to enjoy it while I can.
Oh, no, all of us
will
be.
On the street.
We're going to be in an opium den somewhere in the Orient.
Living under a bridge
down
by the river.
Everywhere. And I don't want to say, and I won't, so no one asks. But we go downstairs. You have
It's not a split level home. What's that style of home called?
It's kind of a split level.
It's an inside split level. You walk under the first floor, but then 5 feet later, there's the split upstairs, downstairs. Downstairs goes to the basement, which I saw you've made into a nice little play area for Stella.
Yeah.
Stella's got her dolls. Stella's got her her little plastic kitchen, all the type of stuff that kids have. One of the boys, this one right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That one right there.
Mm-hmm.
He has proceeded to take all of the Barbies and strip them of all clothing.
Oh, wow.
And lined them all up rather provocatively.
Oh.
And everyone's walking around looking at this kid like, whoa, wow. And our friend JT looks over at me and goes, should we tell his dad he's doing that with the dolls? Because definitely looks like he's trying to make him. And he's like, nah, I'm going to go back upstairs and get some more of that delicious pineapple.
Wow, I didn't know that had happened.
He had a little audience of guys standing around looking down at him going, oh, wow, those are all of Stella's dolls completely stripped bare. That's weird. And then meanwhile, outside, as kids run around. Oh, yeah. Josh, were you there during the tree climbing situation?
I saw a couple kids trying to climb trees, but it was only for a second.
The kids are climbing the trees.
Yeah.
The kids are trying to be fished out of the trees because they're climbing way too high for their dumb little legs to crawl them back down the tree.
Oh,
so they have
like
to be
cats.
Fished. Like a cat. Like a big, dumb human cat. And we got to fish them out of the trees, and then this water fight breaks out.
The water fight, I kind of was, like, pissed off about, but I just, like, let it. I don't know, because I wasn't outside when it started. And there were plenty of parents that were outside when it started.
Mm-hmm.
And when it happened, we had a big tub of filled with ice, and we had a whole thing of waters in it, like bottled water on ice for people to drink. Apparently, one of the kids, do you know who it was? Did you see it? I don't know. I didn't see it.
It got started.
It got to the point where they were just running over to the tub of waters, cracking open fresh water bottles and just using them as like projectiles and water fighting with them. And then, you know, they were like, they had the bottle open and they were kind of doing like the splashing thing.
But
like,
then people just started.
But then they
like,
just started chucking full water bottles at like each other's heads.
Hey, yeah,
and I'm like, what is happening? Like, first of all,
heads up.
I paid money for that. This water was not put here for a water fight, idiots.
Nope.
It was here for people to drink. And you're using the water that I spent money on and taking bottled water and like chucking them at people's heads.
Hey, Malkovich, think fast.
So I let it go on for a little bit.
And then what happened?
Is this the thing you were talking about?
Yes, it is, because I live with someone that is very much of the mindset, if it's not your child, leave them be. The parent will discipline the child.
No.
If the child is doing the merengue in traffic, just let the parent. And I'm always like, if I see some kid being a total a-hole or in danger, I've got to step in. And there was a moment where I can't remember whose kid it was, but you walk over and this kid's throwing heaters. This kid needs to get in youth baseball. But this kid's throwing heaters. He's winging kids with bottles of water. And you grab him and you say, stop! Your dad told you to stop, and I'm telling you to stop. Stop. And guess what he did? He stopped.
Damn right.
It was amazing. And I mean, I felt a swelling in my shorts. I looked over at you erotically. Like, oh, look at him go.
I do feel sometimes that I maybe step over bounds and I offend other parents because I do that sometimes. But I'm like, you know what? If your kid's acting like an ass and you're not going to say something, I might say something.
Because some other kid that's half his size is going to take some heater to the mush. His orbital bone's going to get all banged up or his eyebrow's going to get all split open. And then I'm in the car and Buck's in the car with me. And she's like, I think Scott really got mad at that one kid. I was like, yeah, that's how you do it. That's how it gets done. Because meanwhile in our house,
yeah, like what's wrong with getting mad at a kid? Like I didn't hold it against him for the rest of the night. But in that moment, he needed to be. You got to regulate.
You got to regulate.
You got to check yourself
before you wreck yourself, huh?
And I definitely did one of these at one point. I went,
whoa,
how?
Whoa,
water fight is over. And I went out into the yard with a black trash bag, and I made them pick up every. There were crushed water bottles all over my yard.
Uh-huh.
There were water bottle caps all over my yard. You know who picked them all up? Those little rugrats.
Yes, they did.
I walked around with a trash can. I said, every single one of these up and in the bag now. Oh. We're done. And then, of course, one little maniac had to try and run it back. Keep running it back. Keep running back. I had to snatch him up. I said, it's over. Yeah, I'm regulated.
It was so
but
nice.
It was good. It was cool. Everybody
it was a great
was cool.
time.
Everyone Hope I didn't
fun.
Offend anybody. What are you going to do?
Did Look, you try the fruit?
Fruit was great.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Man, oh man. We took some calls about Ellicott City. Ellicott City suffering the second flood in 2 years, and it's been a real rough go. We talked to some folks that live down there. We talked to Howard County Executive Alan Kittleman about the efforts to rebuild. And it seems like there's two trains of thought, that this can't be prevented because it's just Mother Nature and she'll do what she wants to do. And then there's a group of people, you'll hear me ask Alan Kittleman about it, that are like, this could have been prevented.
Yeah, he kind of said it. He's like, well, when there's 9 inches of rain, there's really nothing we can do. I'm like, that sounds kind of like hopeless. Like, is that what you want to be saying? Like,
yeah. Yeah, they almost. I didn't even think about it until you just put it in that kind of phrasing now. It almost seems like there's an air of hopelessness. Hey, if this happens again, just prepare. And another thing you'll hear coming up that I was surprised to learn, you know, sometimes some callers have some good insight, and sometimes they call us underwater with only one bar of signal. But a guy called up talking about business insurance, and I had no idea until we talked to this guy that business insurance, or you know, small business insurance, only covered like structural damage and none of your inventory. So if you had like a knickknack shop, all that stuff's gone. A toy store, all that stuff's gone. Perishable goods at a restaurant, all that's gone. There's no insurance for that stuff.
Yeah, man, it's a lot to ask of these people 2 years removed to, hey, do it all again and hope it never happens again.
Fingers crossed there's not a third strike. We talked about it. We talked to a Howard County executive, and we talked to you about the second Ellicott City flood on Behind the Curtain. Ellicott City suffers the second flood 2 years, only a couple of months removed from the first one in 2016. That we made those iHeart EC shirts for, the city rebuilt. You heard Howard County Executive Alan Kittleman join us just now saying that 96% of those businesses affected returned. There were new businesses. Ellicott City came back stronger than ever, and then this happens. And Josh is very astutely pointed out all morning long during his newscast, if you were a business there, if you were a homeowner there, you just had property, this happens 2 years in a row. Why would you move back? And I hope they do. I'm not saying, hey, you're silly for moving back. I genuinely love Ellicott City. But it's like whenever we start doing stories about Tornado Alley, and I want to know who's living in Tornado Alley. It's named Tornado Alley. Is that the name of it? Is it
yeah.
Tornado Alley.
I mean, I've asked the same question.
A big tube of wind ripping your trailer up into the sky, probably going to move that thing 15 feet to the right. So we want to talk to you, 410-338-1098. I mean, us in this room, would you? I mean, just again, I hate to do hypotheticals of these people's tragedies, but I think it's a question worth
having. It's just weird to think, like, I mean, you know, Ellicott City's been there for who the hell knows how long, hundreds mm-hmm. of years. And, I mean, do you just abandon it?
Did you get the email or the Facebook message we received while we were talking to Howard County Executive Alan Kittleman? One of the questions I asked, and it was based off of this gentleman that sent it in, Jason Edwards, thank you. That the caption was, he said, Ellicott City flood. Stop calling it a natural disaster. It's a disaster of the city's own creation because of the amount of paving on natural terrain and sewers and roads that lead to Main Street. You get a high-speed roller coaster for the water to ride directly through town. This top-down flooding has nothing to do with Mother Nature. This is a man-made disaster.
Well, the rain was Mother Nature, but go ahead.
It's a man-made disaster caused by greedy and uninformed people who decided to build homes, and they thought that the risk was worth destroying it.
Who wrote that?
It was a listener that's this big article that shows after the 2016 flood, I guess residents right. were like, hey, we should stop building around here or maybe create some paths for this water to go should this happen again. And I don't know the story. I'm just getting the scent.
Remember the hurricane in Houston mm-hmm. recently? Everybody was talking about how there's so much pavement.
Yeah, it's the pavement
in Houston.
Right. The water doesn't get absorbed into the ground, so it runs yeah. off. And in this case, it runs off all the way Ellicott City is shaped, it all right. runs off straight down into that.
It just funnels down Main Street.
It funnels it down.
Let's go to the phones, 410-338-1098. Mike, when you get a chance, if you could bring this PC up here. Someone turned it off
for no reason.
Let's go to line one. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, it's Blind Mike.
Hey, Blind Mike. What's up, buddy? Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. You hear about the flooding?
I'm heartbroken. I mean, I live right on the border of Catonsville and Ellicott City, and I've never seen anything like this, especially in Catonsville. Frederick Road was flooded all through Catonsville, and I don't want to get very political, but part of that article that you just read is correct. You know, because growing up in this area, I never really saw a lot of this happen until they started to develop that land, because that ground was what soaked up a lot of the rain, and you know, you never really saw that.
Right.
But besides that, I mean, it's just sad to see this kind of thing happen to such a great community. We were down there on Friday, and you know, now to know that you can't go back to the restaurants and the bars that we were in again, it's devastating.
And that was Coco Lane, am I correct? That's where people did stand up down there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Coco Lane.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think they really even were able to bounce completely back from the first
one.
Well,
the thing about
Coco Lane was they decided that they weren't going to open after what happened in 2016.
Yeah.
Mm, thank you, Mike. We appreciate the call, bud. 410-338-1098. Let's go to Al in Forest Hill. Al, good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, good morning, guys. Long time listener. Love the show.
Thank you, bud.
Shout out.
Yeah, I think just to expand on that, I think, you know, how do you get a 1,000-year flood, which is supposedly what this was, twice in 2 years? Yeah. And this is a historical town that's been there, obviously, for 100-plus years, and they're still there until the last 2 years. So it seems like I'm in the building industry, so I'm a little biased, but there may be something with the development, say, they're calling up the hill from there.
Breaking up on us, buddy.
God.
Back.
Al. Oh, man, just on the brink of a good call.
You were killing it, bud.
Damn it.
You got to wonder, what if this is determined? People study what happened, how it happened. Will anybody be held accountable? Should they find out that there was development that might have... Obviously, you get 6 inches of rain, 8 inches of rain, as Kittleman was saying. It's going to wreck any area when it falls as hard and as long as it did. But if they come to find out someone might be liable, is anyone going to pay for this?
I don't think you can determine that. That'd be very hard to determine.
Let's go to D in Ellicott City, line two. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
What's up, Boo?
Hey, D.
We actually moved here a year ago, back from Pikesville, White Marsh, and all that. So everything came back, and it was awesome. We spent the whole summer down on Main Street. We also live right at the edge, so we take the trolley trail down. And it's we drove on Main Street at like 1:30. You know, Mark's like, hey, you want to take these classes at Miss Fit? And I was like, yeah, let's do happy hour tomorrow or something to watch a Cats game. And now it's when we were driving back at 5:30, we were turning on Rogers. And like what Blind Mike said, it wasn't just Main Street. All of Catonsville was like flooding. Like our street at the end, it's closed. Like it's not just Main Street that was hit by this. And it's just devastating because, like, we were driving down on Rogers. Our neighbor just called us and said, hey, I'm in Rosedale. Is our street okay? And we're like, we're trying to go home. We're about to turn onto Main Street. And he's like, don't go down there. It's probably bad down there.
Yeah, you're going to get caught in the water.
Yes, and just turning around and driving home up 40, our car nearly flooded twice.
Whoa!
And the end of our street, like, where we are, it pivots down. So, like, we were driving through about 12-inch, no, it had to have been more, about almost 2 feet of water.
Holy.
Driving the car through. So, and it was a cop was already there trying to direct people. Like, and it's really unfortunate because there is the homes that are building, you know, right above Main Street. So everyone could say, oh, global warming and development this and development that. But, you know, we saw it. We walked down yesterday to see, like, how bad is the trail? Can we still, like, I mean, I'm like, you know, clumping up here a little bit because, like, we walk down that street and, like, all the trail is completely eroded. These people's houses are flooded. The basement's flooded. And that's not even down on Main Street. Main Street's gone. Like, and we wanted to do the engagement photos down there by the clock, by the house, and all that is gone.
Damn. Thank you for the call, Dave. Also,
man, getting emotional.
You was, heard.
I'm sorry.
No, please.
Oh, there was a, as she mentioned, engagement photos.
The wedding.
There was a wedding in Ellicott City during the flood, and they escaped from one place, but decided to go to another place, higher ground.
God, that's ominous for that union. And I think it was Steve, the builder, was saying that area is like 100 years old. I mean, those are some old homes. Could you imagine your row home that you had? I mean, it's older construction. You have that amount of water rage and slap up against an old building, and that thing's probably going to tip.
Well, that's what Alan Kinneman was saying. They got to make sure these, you know, buildings are safe. Obviously, they're not inhabitable, but to the point where they're not just going to collapse on workers or whoever's trying to rebuild. They got to shore everything up.
And did you see the video of the old courthouse?
No.
Crumbling into the water being swept away. And there's a man who fell out of the second story of this courthouse, the old courthouse. I mean, Ellicott City, I think, has been there since the late 1700s. And so this courthouse just crumbled and was swept away. And a guy, he survived. I think he either jumped or he fell out of the second story of this courthouse, and they got it all on video. He was okay, though.
And it was described, like, when he falls and probably fell into some water. Yeah. That water, like a tornado, it's not the wind that gets you, it's the debris.
Oh, yeah.
That water is a slurry of metal and stone and wood and car parts and stuff that's been sucked out of storefronts. So when you get into that, that's not you splashing down some clean, fresh, raging river. You're getting just severe shrapnel inside of that water.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So I found out something pretty interesting. There was an axe murder in my neighborhood in the early 80s. There's a book called Sudden Fury that you could look up. And word got back to the neighborhood community that I brought it up, and everyone's excited in a tizzy. They were just glad to be talked about. No one was mad. But this guy put together a Facebook thread online, and let me scroll through and see if I can find it. But I was looking at this Facebook thread where they talked about the Schwartz kids, and they said that there was something else that happened in the neighborhood that I need to find out about in the Cape. In the Cape, I should have had this damn thing. Mount Pleasant. I'll tell him about the history of Mount Pleasant Drive.
Ooh.
I love a good secret. I love a good scary backstory. Who was the guy you had in your neighborhood, Jupiter Jerry?
Yeah.
I'm coming to find out that we had a guy in our neighborhood by the name of Buffy. And Buffy was a weird dude. Maybe in the week to come, after Beach Bash, I will get permission from certain people in the neighborhood, because he's got a history, a gentleman that shared the same name as a vampire slayer, Buffy. I'll get the details of and tell you about, and it's pretty gnarly. So stick around. Coming up on Behind the Curtain, you're going to hear me get into a tale told to me, and I tell it to you. In my neighborhood, there was an axe murder. On Behind the Curtain.
United Rock and Memorial Day weekend has come to a close. But Justin found himself at a house. Was it a house party?
House party, baby.
What's
turn
up,
that
house
down.
Party?
What's up? Big Bad Bo, the Prime Minister, the Duke of Cape St. Clair, the benevolent soul that oversees all of his constituents. We got a guy in my neighborhood. I live in the Cape. Shout out Anne Arundel, AA. And there's a dude named Bo. And Bo, man, may every community have a Bo. This guy is great, and once a year, he throws this big-ass house party. I mean, he cooks a farm's worth of pig, a field's worth of cow, and he's got four different types of pasta salad. I couldn't handle it. Bo, if you're listening, and sometimes you do, I am so sorry for basically just sitting at the pasta salad table and shoveling it into my mouth.
Is that him? Did I find him online?
That's my dude. That's big, beautiful Bo, the Duke of Cape.
Wow.
And he had a band out there. He had inflatables, had the whole thing. And I got to meet people that I live near. And I'm not great with meeting neighbors. I know my immediate neighbors. I know the people across the street. Shout out Jack and Brady. They're always watching the kids. But this is a neighborhood that people like grow up in, they stay in, they raise kids in. It's tight-knit, man. And I'm meeting all kinds of great people. And I meet the guy that runs my liquor store that I'm in every day. Shout out Eddie's. And it's raining, but no one cares. He's got a ton of tents. He's got like one of those tents that you have at an outdoor wedding. And we are having a ball. Sure, it's thunderstorm outside, but kids are running around and we're having fun. And he's introducing me to some folks. And this one dude comes up. He's like, yeah, so I hear you've been in the Cape for a couple years. That's cool, man. Yeah, you ever read the book Sudden Fury? I'm like, what? And he couldn't wait to like pull me aside. He's like, yeah. Those woods back there. You ever heard about Larry?
Larry?
Larry Schwartz?
Larry Schwartz?
And I said, no, sir, I have not, but I have a feeling you're about to tell me. And as I stuffed another scoopful of artisanal baked beans and listened to the children run by and play, I was regaled with the tale of a man who, I guess in the 80s, 1984, there was a family that adopted two children.
Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. That's very nice of him.
Unless, of course, one of those children killed the family with an axe.
Oh, stop it.
In
what?
Your neighborhood?
In my neighborhood.
Look up the book Sudden Fury. The author, Leslie Walker. It happened two houses down. And this guy, his name escapes me because I believe he was on Corona number 79, looked at me. He's like, yeah, those woods right there. That's where he chased her. That's where he chased mother. And at this point, I'm like, oh, no. I kind of want to go explore the woods. And at the same time, I don't.
Oh, wow.
And I look into it, and it's about this family. And it's a true story from so many decades ago. The community has healed, and we now have a subway.
I see the story here.
There was an axe murderer. Yeah, I'm reading it. This is crazy.
Now, it's a deep and tawdry tale. One, I don't want to tell until I've read the book fully. But I've ordered a copy of Sudden Fury that if you can't find me at all this week, it's because I'm back at the Clarion, hunched under the covers with a nightlight on, reading Sudden Fury. Now, from what I gather from the synopsis is that these parents were like taskmasters. They were pretty severe disciplinarians.
They were a model church-going Catholic couple, but severe and demanding of their children. Father's temper sometimes growing into physical abuse.
Oh, man.
Larry, the axe murderer, he pleaded guilty to killing them. He's like, look, I killed him.
Yeah. He apparently, from what I was told... God, I'm like that apparently kid.
Apparently.
He kills dad quick. Then he runs out and chases mom out of the shower through the snow. And she's pretty much naked except for a sock. And I guess she circles around, comes back into the house and does the awful deed. And then he cleans up and he goes to bed, knowing what he's done, and then like calls the police. I might have my timeline off. Again, I'm getting tales told from various people at the same time, and I'm just fascinated by this stuff because you know how much I love true crime. You know, your Ed Kempers, your Jerry Brudos of the world, the killer in the White City, and to find out that two houses down there was a guy swinging an axe decades and decades ago.
The mom was stabbed 7 times in the neck and bludgeoned with a wood-splitting maul.
Oh,
her nude body found outside in
nude?
The snow. Dad was dead in a downstairs clubroom, stabbed 17 times with a steak knife.
A crime. Stabbing is a very intimate crime, and when there's a lot of stab wounds, that means it's like a crime of passion.
Or a crime of pure rage.
Or rage, that's what I mean. There's like a lot of whatever behind it.
And I'm just eating mouthful after mouthful of wet, drippy coleslaw while this is all happening.
Damn, son.
Oh, yes.
You gotta move.
Just eating, maybe just eating over and over again. And I know that's actually kind of made me fall in love with the neighborhood.
Oh, really?
I was like, this is amazing.
Psychopath.
I have two great beaches. I have a fantastic strip of a mall with Grawls. Shout out, what's up, Cantina, everyone over at River Bay. And then I found that for it scratches that true crime itch that now it's horrible. But at the same time, I just to know that I was looking at the woods where someone was being chased with an axe. It's horrifying.
God, why you get off on this stuff?
I don't get off. It was just the pasta salad was so good, man. The guy had chunks of feta.
Oh, the feta.
The feta. And he had bell peppers in there. Mm-hmm. And olives, pepperoncinis in the other. Ooh. Broccolinis in the other. And meanwhile, the axe murderer chased his family through the forest. Yeah, that guy was all too excited to tell me that story. It was pretty interesting.
Now, did your woman know about this? I mean, her family
she
lives
knew,
there, right?
And chose...
And she didn't tell you?
Not to tell me.
Wow.
She said, oh, I feel like you'd have heard about it on your own anyways. I figured I'd just let you find out about
it. How did you not tell me this?
Did you see me watching Mindhunter on loop, okay? I rewind all the scenes with Ed Kemper while he's eating pizza. You're going to want to tell me about this stuff. Shout out last podcast on the left. I watch this stuff. It's morbidly fascinating, and it's horrifying. And just to be able to sit there and just scoop handful after handful of delicious, moist brisket between my teeth the entire time. Oh, It was a day built for Justin.
And this is right down your block?
I can walk there. They had four types of pasta salad.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Mike got a haircut. Mike's haircut looks a lot different than his old haircut, and I think the consensus is this is Mike 4.0, man. This is the new Mike. I think he's going to keep it. Mike, you're joining us in here right now, but again, weekends, still can't really chime in. Thumbs up, thumbs down as you stand half a week later. Does it stay thumbs up? Does it go thumbs down?
The way the masses have spoken, they're like, wow, looks amazing. Like, why wouldn't you want to? It's not as bad as you think it is. It really isn't, Mike. I know it's dramatic and it's different and it's going to take some adjustment and it probably feels different. It feels lighter. You can't touch your curls anymore. But I think this is the next, the
evolution,
the bigger, better,
faster,
whatever it
stronger.
Is. This is the new and improved. Maybe that's what I was looking for. Yeah. The new and improved Mike Anderson.
What's the most drastic change you two have ever had from a haircut? From what to what?
I've been pretty. I don't
standard.
Know.
I still remember when I was a child. My father brought me to the barber shop. We used to get our haircuts together. And he decided it was summer and we should have a crew cut.
Yeah, hell yeah. Summer
yeah,
cut,
yeah, yeah.
Dude.
Dude, summertime cuts in my neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looked awful. It looked awful. Mine looked awful. His haircut looked awful. Okay.
Can I make a strange request, Josh?
Okay.
Do you know you've never, ever showed me any pictures of your parents? I've never
my
seen
my parents.
Them. I've never seen them.
Well,
we tell so many fantastic and sometimes horrifying stories of Russian massage therapists, frozen bread, and now haircuts.
Yeah.
Maybe next week, whatever one you want to show. I just to put a face to the tales told. I'd love to see a picture of Ma and Pa Speaks.
Oh, I can draw a picture for you.
Oh, that's even better. Let's get, wow, look
you,
at the
you
shade.
Were at my house, didn't you? I think I have a couple pictures hanging up.
I was too scared to look at them. Wow, look at that. God, she had beautiful hair.
Wow, yeah.
Look at her. She's got beautiful hair.
Your dad was tall.
I didn't know how tall he was. Wow.
Well-dressed.
Look at dad. Woo, big calves, just like his boy. All right, well, stick around. Coming up, Mike Anderson got a haircut, and you chimed in. Yeah, baby. So I'll even give you a little hint as to what we're talking about right now. If you go to our Twitter page and look at the header, I might have made a little Photoshop of what's been up there for about a week or so now. If you go ahead and take a look, I went to Twitter, and you'll notice our friend Eric George, who made an 8-bit picture of us for an upcoming old school style video game he's working on tirelessly. There's photos of all the members of the show. And there's Scott to the left, and then there's me second to the left. There's Josh dead center, like the stone of the show that he is. Sam all the way to the right, giving that come hither glance of hers. And then there's Mike. And usually he'd have these curly, crazy, predator-like locks. And now, they're gone. Oh, boy. How do we go about this in the way things are now?
Well, Mike went to the usual spot. We won't say where, because we don't want to do that.
He gets but his haircut at a local soup kitchen.
I guess there maybe was a wait, and he had to go to a different person at the regular place. Mm-hmm. So he went to a new person. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there. Now, what point, I mean... Your stomach sank at one point, right? When you were... Yeah. I know. Yeah. We all know that feeling.
He's saying, yeah.
He's getting a haircut, and then you see it happening, and you feel it start to happen, and you go, oh, wow, boy, they're taking a... Seems like they're taking a loss.
Did he tell you the moment that he told
seems
me?
Like they're taking... Well, he said
the verbal exchange when someone walked up to him that wasn't getting their haircut and asked him something?
No.
Someone that works there...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy
came up and goes, did you mean to get that much cut off? And Mike hadn't seen it yet. And that's when he reaches back and feels a lot of scalp. And the stomach sinks.
I think halfway through, I guess they spun him away from the mirror so you can't see what's happening.
See.
And then when they spin you back around.
Yeah,
a lot was chopped off. Apparently, on the way out, there was a lot of awkward silence in the barber shop. They didn't charge him for the haircut. They didn't charge you. Awkward silence. He walks out. Mike's devastated. He thinks it's going to take a year for him to look normal again.
He wrote that to me yesterday when I was texting him about something. I had some ideas for the week, and he's distraught. And he said, it's going to take a year for my hair to return to the way it was. And this is one of those times of the year where we all get ourselves as in good a condition as we can for Beach Bash. Josh has lost 80 pounds. All of us got our hair cut. Josh literally changed his body for Beach Bash, and all of us just got a quick cut. But Mike's cut was a little bit more severe than others.
This has happened, not this severe, but he has had several bad haircuts. At least since I've worked with him.
He has difficult hair.
He has difficult hair, and that's why he has to go to a salon, not a barber shop.
Mike Anderson.
Well, no, because he went to the one place, and they perfected it. They got it to where it was great, and you were getting great haircuts. But you rolled the dice yesterday and tried someone different in that same building, right?
Yes, he's nodding yes in the background.
And,
well.
You know, I went to someone new yesterday. Same spot, different barber. And never saw this person before.
See?
And I took a roll of the dice, and luckily, you know...
It can be...
I came up a winner.
You find someone you like, you stick with that person.
Shout out Phil.
Are we posting this, the side-by-side?
Can we do the side-by-side, please?
It's up at JSS98 Rock. You want me to do it? I mean, because I texted it to you, so you have it on your phone. You could just save it and do it. It's technology.
I don't mean to be selfish about this, but I think Mike should wear a wig because I don't think we should be.
Think it looks great.
Well, I shouldn't be subjected to this.
But Josh has to work tomorrow, and meanwhile, it's kind of hard to put together the time machine.
I got to look at him
when he wants to throw up for 5 hours.
Here's the thing: I think it looks fine. I think it looks great. I think he looks a little bit more grown up. I think it's a semi-new look for him. That long, weird, curly locks thing.
I loved it.
It was nice, but I think this is the next evolution of that. I like it.
I feel like we got a Samson situation here where the guy has lost his locks and lost himself.
It's not terrible.
It looks great. Take your headphones
off.
The
back of your head looks so weird.
It doesn't.
It does look strange.
It looks fine.
It's not a bad haircut. It just doesn't. It go to LiveWire.
I love it.
It doesn't. It's again, that haircut on anyone is a 10 out of 10. It just doesn't look like you.
Well,
It's like one of the reasons, like,
he
this is
better than he did.
This isn't a nose joke. If you ever got a nose job, I would be upset because it's like such a distinct look. It's like when Jennifer Grey got her nose done, everyone forgot who she was. Now that Mike's missing these locks of his, it's like if Josh lost those big, juicy pepperoni nipples of his. I wouldn't know who he is. It's a distinct feature. His large salami nipples that just beckon for my touch. I wouldn't know the man.
I love it.
Ah, oh, Mike.
I really do. You know.
If you shave your head, I'll shave mine. I mean it. If you shave your head bald at the Green Turtle on Friday, brother, I'll do
well,
you.
Well, that's even worse. What do you mean?
Shave
he got
it bald.
A short haircut and he's pissed. You now you want him to shave it?
Hell
never
yeah.
do that.
Shave it bald with me, man.
Is there, could we get a hairstylist to fix it?
I think anything that would fix it would have to go shorter, and I don't think he's willing to even do that.
The photo is up.
Could we dye it invisible?
Yeah, maybe that.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Can we dye it clear? We get a selection of wigs.
Or just, can we have somebody bring a selection of hats?
That's not a bad idea.
Just giant hats.
Fedora Anderson.
You just have to wear a hat for the next year.
I'm sorry. I'm not. I don't mean to make fun, but Mike was so when he came over to my desk this morning, I could see how he was just really angry.
Yeah,
I could tell that he was very. Angry.
Have you come?
It
down?
It might have been at me. But
have you come down
I
at
know.
All? A little. What'd the significant other say?
She was just trying to not get me more depressed. Oh,
she's trying
she
to
hates
not
it.
Poke the bear.
I love it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Oh,
I think it looks great. I think the length in the back is cool. It's still a little bit of curl, but it's nice and
you look like an asshole.
Clean.
Oh, boy. Controversy. Mike Anderson goes in to get a trim, and he gets a lot more than that.
It's the best haircut of his life, if you ask me.
Scott loves it. We put the question out there across all social media, facebook.com/JSS98rock, twitter.com/JSS98rock. There's a side-by-side of Mike's old hair and Mike's new hair. He told me that he told the barber he'd like 2 to 3 inches taken off. Now, you say it didn't look that long. If you take one of his curls and stretched it out, he said that the curl was 8 inches long total, a Scott's worth. And then if you lop off 2 inches or so, 3 inches, you know, you're left with 5 to 6 inches. I think he misunderstood and left you with 2 to 3 inches.
Or maybe he didn't stretch the curls out far enough.
Or just didn't care and just decided to lop your head off. Joining us in studio, we have Livewire technician Justine with one of the damn finest shirts I think I've ever seen.
Ah, why, thank you.
That's the Justin and Scott.
That's my favorite shirt.
I love that shirt. It's got all of our names on it. And you checked in on Twitter. Again, this is Justine. She runs all our Livewire cameras. She said, remember the blonde bangs? That was me rolling the dice with a new stylist. What happened to you? Did I not recall this?
Well, I decided to try something new.
Yep.
A new place, new stylist.
Mm-hmm.
And halfway through the haircut,
that's the worst.
Another employee had asked her, do you need any help?
Oh.
My heart just stopped.
That's the worst.
Oh, my God, yo.
Yeah, when you feel like the scissors just go a little, you're like, oh, that was a lot.
Here, let me take off.
Why is he still cutting?
That's not the right size guard. That's not the right size guard.
And you're in all internal monologue. Just,
what's happening right now?
I don't want to be rude, but
it's the worst.
It's my hair, and I'm going to get roasted by the homies when they see me.
It was really, really bad.
I believe your tweet said, that she gave you an Amish-ass haircut.
Yeah, when I went to get it fixed, the people there at my normal place said, yeah, that's an Amish-ass haircut. And I'm from Pennsylvania, so I'm trying to get away from that
one. Right. No, so, Mennonite Justine here. Yes. So, J-Boss, you being a bit of a fashionista yourself, what do you think about Mike's haircut?
I told him I like it.
I like it too.
There you go.
It's different, but
still Mike.
I think you can rock it. Yeah.
Still Mike, but just it's Mike 4.0 at this point.
The new Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson Hair Agenda. Justine, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Livewire technician.
I think he just needs to get used to it. He keeps reaching to the back because that's a very Mike thing. I've worked with Mike long enough to know that he does this. He goes like down the back of his head and then he does this. He like puffs his curls and he feels them.
He fluffs them.
And he like does this weird like little puff thing and he can't do that anymore.
It's funny
it's
you say
very
that.
Disorienting.
You know what else he can't do anymore? This is one of his other favorite moves. Livewire, camera two if you can. In the morning when he comes in, he gives himself a little.
The head whip.
He gives the whip.
Yeah.
He ghost rides the whip. And he can't do that. There's not enough there to whip anymore.
Good. Oh. Get rid of that hand. You don't need enough to whip it.
Throw it to your shoulders.
Some replies at our post on Twitter, at JSS98Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Really does not look that bad, Mike. Can't even tell the difference. Looks better. You should go a little shorter still. I think it looks good. More grown up. Looks great. I love it.
Baltimore Mama says, you no longer look like a man-child. It's hot. What else we got in there? Like it more than the old cut, says Nance Pitzer. The fuller beard discussion has some interesting possibilities. Mike, how about a goatee to go with the new look? And then It's Nick Dude says, dude, it's not that bad, but he looks like Jamie Kennedy now.
Looks the same, but without those extended locks. Love the shaggy Mike, but this look looks professional. Love the look. I like it. Yeah, I think the masses have spoken, Michael.
Let's talk to royalty. Joining us on the phone, 410-338-1098. You saw her crowned prom queen. It is our own JSS Queen Amelia from the JSS prom from Pennsylvania. Good morning, my liege.
Good morning. Hey, Josh. How are you doing?
Hey, good. We danced together.
You did. It was beautiful.
How was the dance for you? I didn't get a chance to talk to you.
It was good. It was good. We kept enough distance between each other, and it was short enough. I was satisfied with the dance.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. I loved the way that towards the end of the night, you were waving with the back of your hand like Fergie, Duchess of York.
Yeah.
She got into the role, and I loved it. So, Amelia, yep. You've seen the haircut. What say you?
I love it. I'm glad. And I told Mike that it is awesome, and he should rock it. It just elevated his game to an 11 now.
Whoa.
I agree.
Mike, the Queen's calling you an 11.
An 11.
Thank you so much, Queen Amelia, checking in. Here's some more here. You look like skinny Frank Mir. Frank Mir, former UFC heavyweight champion, and probably, and Mike, you got to agree with me, one of the more handsome fighters they ever had. Frank Mir. That is not a bad comparison.
I like it. It's the same, just shaped up a bit.
The overwhelming consensus does agree with Scott, disagrees with me. That, again, I don't think it's gross. Josh wants to throw up all over his table as he looks at you. I don't think it looks like you, but it's not a bad cut. Denise says, looks good. Definitely makes him look a bit more older, mature, and professional.
Somebody says, now shave that stupid thing on your chin. Let me see. Nah, keep that.
Keep that. Don't you dare cut that off.
Yeah. Keep that.
Yeah. Josh likes grabbing it.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Yeah, on the way up, you saw a bit of an incident with Mike in a truck in a Chrysler 300.
Yeah, we got to get a little dicey there. We had a big truck cut us off, and Mike, he laid on the horn for a little bit because Mike's road rage incidents have been the thing of legend around here. Punching the car door, yelling and screaming.
Open firing on family.
Eyes rolling back in the head. We forgot about that. His eyes roll back in his head. He like blacks out.
Yeah, he says he blacks out. He gets into such a rage, he doesn't remember what's happening.
And I am pretty sure there were two incidences that happened. The one was the road rage, and he kind of laid on the horn, and he seemed like he regrouped pretty quickly. The other one was, which we didn't talk about, was that he went through the easy pass lane, and he doesn't have easy pass.
And
I could tell he was freaking out because he kept like we drove for like another half hour, like 45 minutes, and then we hit another toll, and we get to the toll booth, and what does he do? He pays the toll, and he goes, "Hey, I was just curious.
Like, let's say if you go through the Easy Pass lane, you don't have Easy Pass.
Not saying I did that.
What is the fine associated with something like that? He was burning his brain so bad that he had to ask the toll booth lady. She looks at him. She's like, I don't know.
I don't care.
What do you mean? I don't know what the toll is. What do I look like?
Keep going. There's
just
a line.
Go.
Yeah, he was asking me off the air. He's like, hey, what happens if you like drive through the Easy Pass and you don't have an Easy Pass?
Assuming him.
Is that going to be like a fine? Am I going to get like points? Am I gonna? What's gonna happen?
I'll pay whatever it is. You hear me?
Hear that?
Scott will take care of it. The show will take care of it.
I will not help. Scott will pay.
I don't want you to have to worry about it.
Ooh, you should submit it to management.
Had I not been in the car,
work expense.
I think that would have sent him over the edge because that's one of the things where you feel disappointed in yourself.
Stupid.
You feel so stupid. You're so stupid.
I'm so stupid.
Idiot. You start signs.
Backhanding everything.
Why did you go to the Easy Pass?
Pulling out tufts of hair, just playing with your nipples in full view of children.
Oh, you would have been so pissed.
What did I do? I need to play with these pepperoncinis of mine.
Stupid.
We'll hear about it coming up. Scott and Mike rode down together in the waiting room on wheels to Ocean City. And there's a bit of a road rage incident on Behind the Curtain. Yeah.
Justin Scott speaking on 90rock90online.com. We are live from Ocean City, Maryland for Ravens Beach Bash presented by Miller Lite. We are on the back deck of the Clarion Resort Fontainebleau Hotel. We're up just north of 100th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Right here at Ocean Parkway. Is that what it's called? You know, I'm not good.
Is it Coastal Parkway?
Coastal
Ocean? Highway? Coastal cul-de-sac.
So bad when it comes to the geography.
And don't forget to set your alarm. Just because we're down here in Ocean City doesn't mean we're backing off of them Smashing Pumpkins give 7:30, 8:30. More chances to win tickets to see them July 27th in town in Baltimore. And you'll be entered into that grand prize running for a trip to Los Angeles. See them in that 1979 house and get a guitar, airfare, transportation, and more. When we last left the program, you, Scott, said that you came to Ocean City with Mike. You guys drove together, and I miss you. And you said there was an incident.
First off, a big shout out to Nick EP. We got his dad sitting here chilling right here. It's Nick EP's dad.
That guy's old school.
And Nick EP's driving to work back down in Baltimore. But yeah, drove down with Mike and was happy. He texted me around 1 o'clock. We were slated for a 4 p.m. departure. And I was like,
God,
why don't you pick the worst effing time to commute to Ocean City,
Mike? Why don't we swim there?
But no, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock we departed. I don't know how he shaved off 3 hours, but he did. And we got on the road. The 2010 car of the year, the Ford Fusion, was clean. It was very clean. Don't think I didn't notice, Mike. Car was very clean. Car drove great. 140,000 miles on it. Still going strong.
Strong.
And Mike Anderson, like I said last break, is a great driver. I had no complaints.
Not on the phone, not distracted, fidgeting with the radio.
I almost caught a video of him at one point while texting while driving. But it was...
Got to use that voice to text, homie. Got to use that voice to text. I'm telling you what, people are shocked by the novels that I'll send them while in the car. Because I just tap and then speak the whole damn monologue into my phone and it gets sent. What was the tune situation like?
We were listening to Brett Hollander on AM for a while, and then we kind of got out of range of that. So it was mostly just
Peaches and Herb,
local radio, or whatever. And
I love listening to local radio on the way down.
Yeah, it was just, you know, that kind of vibe. But there was one incident,
and a couple of
you know, you're driving right, and you're in a part of the area, the road where it's open, and everybody can kind of go, you know, do their thing. If you want to go a little bit faster, you can. But then you hit, you know, parts, these trips out here when, you know, you're on open roads and then smaller roads. You know, sometimes the cars bunch up.
Yeah.
So we were at a point in time where the cars were bunching up. And Mike does the right thing. He's like, look, there's nowhere really to go, so I'm just going to kind of, you know, fall in line with the flow of traffic, and we'll just hang out and wait this out.
Pop out on the other side.
But then there's always the a-holes that want to continue to drive fast. And there was one guy who we thought was going to be a troublemaker. He was in a Chrysler 300.
Well, watch out.
A black one.
And got a badass on our hands.
He was off in the right lane. I mean, he was tailgating someone. It looked like he was being towed. I don't know how you tailgate like that. So, and then he comes over to the middle lane, so we're like, oh, watch out for this guy. Looks like he's going to try and make some moves. He looks like a douchebag. He's going to do the whole, you know. And then out of nowhere, what was it, a Ford F-250? I mean, this thing was giant. Out of nowhere, middle lane, this giant diesel Ford comes flying up the middle lane and has to slam on his brakes to avoid, like, a rear-ending this other car. And then Mike and I both see what's coming, and I hear Mike go, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And yeah. The guy puts on his blinker and cuts left in front of us and, I mean, wedges this thing. If Mike didn't hit the brakes, we may have gotten into an accident. He just wedges this thing into the left lane right in front of us. And Mike lays on the horn. And were there any expletives?
Was there any FUs, FUs? Oh, you were laser focused. Red Terminator vision.
It was so clear. It was so crystal clear. We both saw it coming. But he slams on the brakes, lays on the horn. I gave the guy the double middle finger.
Hell,
I don't know if you saw
Stone
that.
Cold.
Did you see that?
Scott,
I went like
316.
This. Through the windshield. Because he was looking in the rear view. I gave the double middle.
Yeah.
I'm like, you douchebag. That's like the – what are you doing?
Look at the length of his fingers, too.
And then I think he brake checked us a couple of times. Then, you know what he did?
What'd he do?
Blowing coal.
Oh, that
blew,
son of a
blew
bitch.
Coal right all over Mike's car. However you do that in a diesel truck, I don't know. I'm not that smart. But he hit the gas real hard or something or whatever you do. And that black cloud of smoke. He had the big exhaust, too. Like this fat, like whatever that is, like 8-inch exhaust. And just went, this cloud of smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Just
awesome.
Engulfed Mike's car.
Now, let me ask, too, because we've talked about these road rage incidents before where – you know, you'll have somebody that'll either tailgate you or they'll cut you off or they're honking their horn. And my maneuver, the first thing I do is I try and size up the size of the driver. Like if this guy's 5 foot six and 5 foot five, 5 foot four and under and South Korean, man, he's going to catch these hands. If he's any bigger than that, I just sort of keep my head down and turn up the captain and Tennille and just chalk that up to an L. Did you get eyes on this guy? Was he this big country S kicker?
No, you didn't see. The truck was so big and he was so fast that I barely.
Because if I'm throwing up the double middle fingers like Scott, you know, Kid Rock got my finger.
Here's
in the
thing,
air,
though.
That guy better be tiny.
No, but here's the thing, though. He even doing that, like he knew that he didn't care. He was so like aloof and such an ass that he knew that was probably coming, and he knew it was warranted. I think he did that. Oh, yeah, at one point he put his arm out the window like this.
What
like,
you going to do?
Like, what? And it's like, and he knew, you know, it was kind of like an understanding, like, look, you're a complete douche, and we're giving you the finger, and that's just the way the world is at this point. Like, he was okay with it when we were okay with it. And then he just, like, sped off and annoyed some more people and was gone.
Wow.
But it was a close call.
Yeah, that does sound kind of dicey. Man, Mike, I know you've gotten in some road rage incidents before where, you know, I teased prior to this break that you've punched your dashboard and center console so hard you've come in with a swollen hand thinking you've broken your hand or on the way home or equipment or pretty much anything. Mike is just filled with rage.
Had I not been there, would you have reacted differently?
Nah.
It wasn't that. Yeah, it was.
You wouldn't have gotten that ass? It was just a honk?
Yeah, there was.
Was
no
it a
need.
Honk or was it a lean on the
he
horn?
He laid on it for a few, like maybe five seconds.
Okay,
which
that's
is long.
That's a long time. Count to five and imagine that horn blaring in your ear the entire time. Yeah, not
Spiegs. Any of you guys? Anything eventful?
Man, smooth ride went across the bridge. Even though, okay, I don't like when they do this. They have the two spans
two of
the
two
bridge,
lanes. Yeah,
and they had two lanes coming westbound and one lane going eastbound towards Ocean City.
Yeah.
And I don't know what shipment of whatever was just dropped off by a battalion of large trucks, but just making their way past me the entire time, a textbook distance from me, were just like 20 Mack truck diesel engines. And I usually don't mind driving across bridges. I don't. But when you have the rumble of massive mechanized equipment, if I put my arm out the window, I lose the arm. And that shook me up a little bit, but again, I'm easily shaken because I'm a meager man. You, Speaks?
No incidents. It took me about 3.5 hours. Scott and Mike, I got an early start, thank goodness. I wasn't sure if I'd need a nap when I got home to pack, because packing is very strenuous. And I don't fight my body when I get tired.
No.
And
he'll lay down wherever he is.
Yeah, I managed to get out and on the road, and of course, just followed my GPS blindly. Just where it takes me, I go. I don't ask any questions.
In 100 yards, drive directly into the water. Hold breath for 30 minutes.
I meant to take the highways. Because last year when I took all the red lights, I just, you know, I don't like waiting. I have no patience. Mm-hmm. I think it took me on a kind of a roundabout way, but it wasn't too bad. The lights were pretty synchronized, and it wasn't rush hour traffic. So, you know, all's well that ends well.
When you arrived at the hotel, did you perform the pleasure procedure?
Whoa. No, no. I unpacked. I laid down, and I didn't get back up till this morning.
Wow, that's a long time to sleep. Yeah. How many do you got to get? You know, you got to get your 14. You're a growing boy.
I went to bed about 6:30.
Jesus,
I watched. I watched WBAL TV 11 News.
Okay,
the 6 o'clock news, and I started to nod off, right at the end, and I went to bed.
Yeah, I hadn't been here 10 minutes before I ran a batch.
I mean, my engine was still warm, and I'm upstairs.
Wow.
Just, you know.
I did not do that.
Getting the evil out.
It's. I feel like I'm at the point in my life where I really can't travel anymore. It's just too stressful.
He's infirmed.
I just can't take it. Even a 3.5-hour ride, by 2 hours in, I kept looking at the GPS, and it was saying an hour left, and I was like, I can't do this.
I just can't.
Too much.
I might have to pull over and do the show from my cell phone on the side of the road.
Yeah, it's just, I'm at that point where it's pretty much over.
Well,
we now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
A question was posed earlier in the week. Is it now becoming trite, passe, even hack, to be into boobs? And I could see why the question was posed, but I have to say no. After I've had a couple of days to think about it, because this is definitely live and not recorded, I still think it's like, okay, let me use verb.
Because we should say I like boobs. I'm a boob man.
Scott's a boob
and
guy.
I feel like I can't even feel free. I feel like I can't say that anymore. I feel like I'm being ostracized. I'm being judged. I'm being looked down upon.
Spat upon by the masses. You know, Josh likes butts. You like boobs. I like hair lips. We all like our things. And like the word cool has forever been, well, ironically, cool. Cool has just never gone away. Every generation uses the word cool, and it just hasn't faded into obscurity. I feel like every generation is going to have an appreciation for boobs. But then we started getting suggestions in, like I made a comment, 2019, the year of skin. You heard something about teeth. Someone said legs. What were some other suggestions that we got?
Thigh gap.
Oh, man. I like when they touch, though.
Our boss Rick has a thigh gap.
Yeah, you do, Ricky. Ricky got that
thigh
gap.
I love Rick's thigh gap.
Rick's got a thigh gap that you could drive a motorcycle through.
I like it.
That's what. You could just pilot a Vespa between them soft, porky thighs of his.
See daylight right through there.
Yeah.
Drive a semi-truck through that thigh gap.
Like a tilapia cutlet someone dropped on a barbershop floor. Looking nice. Looking real nice. I like when thighs touch.
Rick, are you a boob man?
Are you a boob guy? Yes, he is.
Seems like an everything guy.
You're an everything guy.
Do you prefer
guy.
One over the other, like butts or boobs?
Are you backside? No?
Just likes it all.
Didn't really care? How do you feel about sideburns on a woman, Rick?
Yeah.
Because one of your underlings is into sideburns on a woman.
Yeah, that was odd.
That was this guy right here that usually is helping me with that thing we do on the weekends. Yeah, he told us when we were discussing this, getting behind the curtain, when we went off the air, he's like, "You know what I think kind of hot is when you get a girl that's like she got sideburns, like she's like really hairy." Like, "Oh god, man."
Yeah.
If your girl's got sideburns, she's got back hair. And a mustache in a place where you don't need a mustache. All right, you heard it here first. Rick Strauss loves big butts and hairy women. On Behind the Curtain. Hey, so you guys are driving down. Scott, Mike, you carpooled. Josh drove himself. I drove myself. And on the way there, you guys you posed a hypothetical? You posed a query to each other about boobies? Boobies?
Yeah, I don't know how we even got to talking about it, but it's something I've been thinking about for a while now because I'm a boob man.
Yes, you are. You coined the phrase heavy breast, which I've used ever since I've heard that phrase. That is my favorite way to describe a luscious bosom, as being heavy.
And I don't know what it is. I always have been. It's nothing that I – it's a kind of like, you know, when people say that homosexuality is a choice.
Hi.
Being a boob man is not a choice. I was born this way.
Do you think it's an – okay, you're familiar with the Oedipus complex?
Yeah, of course.
Do you think because of the beautiful
– my mom had giant breasts.
She had gazungas for days, man. And do you think you might have just been – okay, for example, I'm a butt guy. My mom had the ass of a Chrysler.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. It
probably has something to do with it.
A dump truck of a butt. And that's what I like.
Yeah. I like brown hair, brown eyes, big butts. I like the 3 Bs the 4 Bs. That's what I like.
Big butts, good skin, speech impediment.
And I just feel – I don't know why, but like lately I feel like I've been I'm almost afraid to admit that because I feel like people – now we'll look at you like it's almost become cliche.
That's the quote I heard. Is
that the right
boobs,
way to phrase it?
Is liking boobs cliche? Is it hack?
Yeah, I feel like I can't even say that. Like I've stopped myself from saying like I'm a boob man like within the last year because I just feel like it's.
Well, what's the alternative?
Just not saying it. I mean, I'm not going to change. Like I said, I can't change. It's who I am. It's just what I like.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can't say it anymore because people are like, oh, boob man.
Ew, wow.
Like it's cliche or hacky. But
you just get into Game of Thrones?
But Mike posed the question that he thinks we're reaching the – because every – like
we're reaching peak boob?
No, ass.
Or butt.
Because
oh.
Butt has gotten so
– out of control.
Everyone's got a big butt now.
Look who just met with the president.
Right. She's the greatest big butt on the face of the earth, and big butts are in now.
Trump and Rump. You have J-Lo out there swinging that caboose of hers around.
He thinks we're reaching critical mass with the butt. So
okay.
Then where does it go from there?
But good question.
I've always been a tried and true boob man. And you know what? I feel comfortable saying it. I'm saying it. Okay?
Okay.
I'm a boob man.
This is who my friend is.
I'm sorry.
Maybe the pendulum swings back in the other direction in the years to come, and we get away from the butt, and we go back to the boobies. Or I'll present another hypothetical. Boobs, hack, butt party, canceled. What do people then get into on the human form?
I mean, what else is there?
Crotches, man.
You get into the crotch?
Yeah, people are just into crotches.
Yeah.
Imagine saying that to someone like, what are you into?
You're a boob or a buck? I'm more of a crotch
guy. I'm a crotch guy.
I'm a vagina man.
Yeah, Josh is a vagina guy. Yeah, I tell you what, here's how I knew Phyllis was the woman for me when I got a look at that kitty.
What about, can you get even more detailed, like you're a pubic hair guy?
Yeah, Josh just stepped out of a time machine from 1983.
I mean, if you don't want to be cliche, then you just look for something that'll make people go, what?
I like a nice smile and a huge thatch. God.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's unnecessary judgment passed when you say that.
You know what? I can see why you would feel like that because that's just been the thing forever. I mean, think of every Porky's film you ever saw.
Yeah.
Think of every a Police Academy. Who was it? Callahan? Callahan's character.
The giant boobs.
She was just an angry set of breasts. And I gotta agree with Mike. I think that in the next year or two, I think we're gonna reach peak butt, and then. But where do we go from there? I always like, I found that women enjoy a compliment of is the skin. I love skin. Yeah, good skin. I think 2019, 2020, it's going to be all about that skin. Smooth, velvety skin.
We got one of our female listeners that just showed up down here. And is it wrong for me? We don't need to talk to her. It's just a nod of the head. Is it wrong for me to say that I'm a boob man? Do you think it's fine?
It's not trite or gross or anything like that. Not saying he's going to like talk to you and like leer at them, but if you were to know that Scott is just like, hey, I appreciate a nice act.
Love. She's good. Okay.
Do you think? Okay, then I'll also ask you, lovely lady listener, one of the Snark Squad. Do you think we're reaching peak butt? Are we? You think we're like two people are too into it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you heard it here first. 2019, The Year of the Crutch.
Legs. We forgot legs. We're such idiots. Legs. Great legs.
I forgot legs even existed.
The rest will probably be great or at least good. A nice set of legs.
Hips. Shakira hips. Navels. A nice navel. Like the opposite of my Coke navel.
Yeah, another person says, I like boobs. I prefer butts. But I got to say that I love legs. A nice set of legs will drive me wild.
What about the back? Mike Anderson suggests via text, what about the back? Like a nice set of traps
back
and lats?
Oh, and then when you get to the bottom of the back, and the back has those dimples.
Dimples.
Good back is good.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Behind the Curtain, Justin Scott Spiegel, live from Ocean City. Beach Bash presented by Miller Lite. And year after year, we come here. We have a tradition where usually one of us gets into the ocean. Mike's gone and dove into the waves. I've gone down to inspect the beach and the grass. And this past broadcast on Thursday, we shifted gears and we sent Josh up into a chair. And we didn't have live wire down there, so you couldn't see how he was sitting. But all show long, we actually pulled a lifeguard chair up to our broadcast area, and Josh sat way above us. And Josh, as you continue to sit in the chair now, is this something you think you'll continue to go with, maybe like in the studio, or is this a one and done?
I mean, it feels good here. I think, you know, I'll go back to a regular chair.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very practical. I mean, let's be honest.
And it's hard. It's very hard.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard wood.
How's the lumbar support?
You know, I forgot my my lumbar back thing in my room. I did bring it along with my therapeutic heating pad.
Jesus. Okay. God, you're 80.
I have 17 medications. I've got Claritin, Zyrtec, multivitamins, something for my heart, and an inhaler. So I stand in weakness with you, brother.
Yeah. I've got Tylenol, arthritis. Even though I don't have arthritis, it's the strongest kind.
Okay.
Ooh, good to know.
You can. It's like 8 hours, lasts 8 hours, and it's the highest milligrams dosage you can get. So that seems to help. But sometimes I go the aspirin where I got straight up aspirin or I got Advil. But you can't mix this stuff. And you know, other times it's just the stuff, you know, street stuff.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't.
Street stuff.
I'm kidding. I'm
brown paper bag.
I don't get street stuff. But enough about that. But this look, it's an experience. You guys should try it.
It looks awful. You're like a foot above the table. You have to take your laptop off of the table, put on your lap because you can't reach down to your laptop.
Oh, you look majestic. You're like a monument made of flesh.
And well, the one fun thing was. My legs dangle off the front of it like a gargoyle.
Mm-hmm. Like a gargoyle.
Like a child sitting at the big kid's table.
But, I'll probably go back to a chair now.
All right, you heard it here first. Josh is going to sit in a lifeguard chair from now on Behind the Curtain.
Oh, I'm so unprofessional. I'm so sorry. There, that's good. That's good.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, I'm high on... I think all that food, it's so delicious.
Yeah, you're all packed full,
man. So delicious.
You're all fueled
up.
Now, earlier before Keith Mills' sports, this is an annual tradition here at Beach Bash presented by Miller Lite where one of us faces down the ocean. Remember last year we had the grass situation with the strange mystery grass that was washing up?
Yeah, I remember that. And we were wondering like what the heck they were going to do with it, and they kind of just buried it.
Yeah, they got rid of it, buried it, burned it. That stuff was so weird. And, God bless you, Mayor Rick Meehan from Ocean City cleaned it up. Beaches are looking well manicured. So we're going to head down to the ocean this year, but we're at a crossroads because we're deciding either Josh is going in the ocean or he made the declaration that he wants his own lifeguard chair so he can sit higher than all of us and dominate us.
Yeah.
Josh, how you doing, bud? Where are you at?
I'm good.
He's not far. He's ready.
So winded.
Yeah, I'm
come on, hot foot it a little bit. Pick up the pace.
I just stayed. I don't want to get
stomachache. Oh, Mike took his flip-flops off.
You're supposed to wait an hour before you climb things that aren't yours after eating.
Yeah, I mean, it occurred to me that I would love to have a lifeguard chair in my living room to sit over my family when they visit. And now we're about to go to the beach. Well, I really should not have eaten right before doing this.
Yeah.
Because I ate so fast. And should I take my
Yeah, you're on the beach. Take your flip-flops off. Let your toes in the sand, homie. Live life.
All right.
God.
Oh, God.
He was going to go up to his room and put shoes on to go onto the beach. I'm like, you're doing it wrong.
No, no, no. Don't do that.
In reverse. You take the shoes off.
Yeah, don't do that at all.
Oh, sand feels great on my feet.
Mike, don't walk to the water. Don't walk to the water. Head left. Head to that lifeguard stand first.
Beautiful.
We're going to see. There's no way you're climbing up that lifeguard stand.
I can't wait. I have faith.
No way.
I have faith. You're going to climb up that lifeguard thing.
No way.
My dude, you got this.
I think it doesn't look too bad from here. I'm almost there.
Just wait, because it's a straight climb up.
Okay.
And if you fall from it, your life changes forever.
Yeah, you would definitely break something.
Yeah.
My God.
Oh, crystal
look
bones.
How big the chair is compared to them.
Oh, wow.
You forget how high they are.
Oh, yeah, wow.
That's at least 30 feet up.
Yeah, that's like 35 feet probably.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
All right, buddy.
I'm standing right before
Whoa!
The chair.
Facebook.com/JSS98Rock.
That ain't 6 foot. I read that it was 6 foot, but the one I think I read was for a pool regulation.
Oh, this is not hard.
Well, hello there.
We'll see.
You let that Cialis kick in.
What? Okay.
Here he goes.
He's got 1 foot on the first step.
Here he goes.
I assume this is not going to tip over.
No. People climb it all the time.
And they regularly tip
one
over.
One step.
We're one step up.
We didn't think about that. You are going to have to be able to get down as well.
Two steps up.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Are you there? Do you have a microphone?
Yeah, I am here. I'm just trying not to panic.
You're my meal ticket. You watch yourself.
Someone want to spot me in case
Mike,
I fall?
Spot him!
You
Mike,
bastards!
Get underneath of him like you're going to give him a power bomb.
Listen, if you're going down, there ain't nothing Mike's going to do. Mike maybe break the fall, but that's about it.
Yeah, you're going to be like that skeleton from Pompeii they found with the block on its head.
You're going to smush Mike.
The third step.
He's frozen. I told you he wouldn't do it.
The third step looks so much farther up from the second step.
It is.
I called it.
It is. That's called the dead man's step.
Right foot going up. Heave up.
Oh!
He can't do it. I knew it.
Is he stuck?
Wait, is it going to give out?
Is it going to
Maybe kick? Mike should not be on here with
him. No. It's not going to give out!
There's a good chance the entire structure collapses.
Mike's back on the sand.
He's up! He's almost all the way up!
I see his head cresting the top of the lifeguard stand!
Facebook.com/JSS98Rock. We're doing
illegal?
A live stream.
Is this illegal?
We're definitely trespassing.
Somebody get a photo of him.
He's up! He's live!
Hold on, don't move. I want to get a photo.
Yeah, yeah. Josh, don't move. He's waving to his people. Like Fergie, Duchess of York. He's waving to his people. Oh, God, now I can't wait for the climb down.
Wait,
oh.
I got to sit, right?
Yeah, you got to sit. Look out at the ocean like a lifeguard. There you go. I'm waiting for one of those ATVs to come ripping
up
the beach.
I'm king of the world!
He's up, guys.
This is an amazing view. Wow, this is awesome.
Isn't that nice?
It's a great view.
That's where you live now because you can't get down.
You cannot get down.
Nope, we're going to have to drone food to you. Oh,
yeah,
no.
I'm not leaving. I'm so comfortable up
Isn't
here.
That nice?
Yeah.
It's
going to collapse under my weight.
Look at the photo I got. You can see Josh on the
Scott,
chair.
Tweet that out. That's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, for those that are just joining us, Josh has decided to climb to the top of a chair.
Where he will spend the rest of his life.
Pretty much. Josh's final days are spent at the top of a chair in Ocean City, Maryland. Josh, would you like to now attempt the climb down?
Yeah.
Because you still have to come back and do a news tease.
Ooh. Oh, wait a minute.
Sorry.
He breathed in a crawdad.
I didn't want to sneeze on my way down. That would have been
He's allergic to
disastrous.
Fun.
Yes.
Yeah. What should I got to figure out what to do with the mic here.
Oh, God.
I'm going to give the mic back to...
Don't pull me down with the cord.
Don't you dare pull him down. All right, here we go.
Tip the whole chair over.
Just put... It's the fastest way down.
Send him tumbling down.
There's just a huge sandy crater.
Man.
Oh, no. Okay, he's descending down the chair.
This might be worse than going up.
He's got them good, strong calves, though.
All right.
Oh, no.
Okay, he's one step down. I'm waiting to see. Okay, here comes the right foot down.
Right foot has made contact.
Oh, he's down. He's good. If he falls from there, he'll be all right.
Okay, he's got it. He's got it.
Wow, look at this guy.
And Josh. Josh has safely returned to
Earth. Yeah.
Josh has safely returned to Earth.
Thank you.
Terra firma, ladies.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
I did it for the people.
Oh, my God. It's like watching the Apollo mission return.
Thank you for all of your support.
Oh, thank you so much. Facebook.com/JSS98Rock. You can watch a live stream and a video of Josh's miraculous return.
Here come. There's some.
Uh-oh.
Cops are coming.
What?
Yeah,
time to turn that down. Hi.
Couple of police officers.
Hello. How you doing?
Uh-oh. Josh, you want to maybe steer clear?
Walk
just which way?
Act like you're not on radio.
They're over here. They're coming on the beach.
No.
Walking down this way.
He's not with us.
What? You son of a bitch.
No.
He's down there.
No, we're doing a radio. He's doing a podcast. We're doing a radio show. Yes. Oh, Josh, you might want to lay low, brother.
It's okay. Not allowed. We're not allowed to be up there? Okay. Well, he's down there if you want to go talk
to
him.
Yeah, go get him again.
You can't prove it was me. Tell him you can't prove it was me.
They're coming, so you can talk to him.
Yep. Oh, and here. Oh, wow, she is.
I'm running.
I'm getting out of here.
Oh, no, there goes Josh. He's making a break for it. Josh is getting out of here.
It's time to go behind the curtain. With Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel behind the curtain on 98 Rock, live from Beach Bash. And Kirk joined us on Thursday to chime in on his thoughts. Is it genius? Is it disgusting? On a life hack. That's what I called it, as I saw a waitress saran wrap a plate so as to not get it dirty but still be able to eat food off of it. I think Scott and Josh are in agreement. Disgusting. Kirk and I, two filthy individuals, thought it was genius. And we had ourselves a little chatty chat about it. And have you changed at all?
No.
In your thoughts?
Disgusting.
Nope. Still disgusting?
If I saw her do that, I would be like, can I speak to a manager? That's what I would have said.
Yes. So I can tell
I
that
speak
man.
To a manager?
You give her a raise immediately.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I would do. I would probably be internally disgusted but not say anything.
Are you grossed out when you see restaurant workers at the restaurant you're at or bar eating at the bar or at the restaurant that they're at?
Just eating? No.
No?
No.
Yeah, what?
Here, I'll write down the name of another restaurant that I enjoy going to.
Like when the person is behind the bar and like sneaking bites of sandwiches while they're like, you know... Uh-huh.
That guy at that bar, when I go in there, will regularly just make love to a plate of meatloaf.
And it bothers you?
No. I actually like to watch that brown gravy drip off of his small, thin lips.
The thing about that is like when else do you expect them to eat? They got to eat, right? So I don't feel too bad about it, but I'm just...
Gotta eat.
Part of me is like, man, like...
It is kind of, you know, excuse me, this is the pecking order, madam. You're a bartender here. I don't want to see you doing what... you're not on the same level
right.
as me.
I come here to eat. Okay. I don't want to see you eating
all right.
while you're at work.
You're beneath me.
Do you sit
yes.
in a lifeguard chair at work? Oh, is the answer no? Then put down the
yeah.
roast beef
okay.
sandwich.
You know, eat and drink at home.
Where's okay. my roast beef sandwich?
Yeah.
Or like
exactly.
Mike says, if you're eating alone, go get carry out and eat it in the car like a lonely mother effer. Coming up, we talked with Kirk and ourselves at the beach about a life hack that I saw, thought was genius, others thought it was disgusting. On Behind the Curtain. I think it was a week ago, probably just before we went on our extended Memorial Day break, that I saw something that I think you'd have to refer to as like one of those life hacks. Like, are you looking to make your house more fragrant? Unscrew the vents on the walls, cover them in dryer sheets, screw it back in, and your house always smells like fresh laundry. Also, if you use an uncooked chicken breast and slap it up against the grills of your car's air conditioning, like you can like take the dust out of it. That's a perfectly wasted chicken, but at the same time, I've seen someone actually take like chicken breast.
That's not real.
I could show you a video of it. It's really gnarly. It's a guy taking uncooked chicken breast and putting it on the vent of his car to get the hard-to-reach dust out of it. And I saw another one at a bar, and the bar will go unnamed, where I'm at the bar, and I'm on drink number 42, pretending to be stuck in traffic. And the bartender behind the bar orders wings. And the wings come out for themselves. They're hungry. I guess they're kind of eating and working. And they proceed to take a plate off the stack that they would go and put whatever else on and hand it to a customer. And they draw saran wrap over the plate. And then when the wings come out, they put the wings on the saran wrap covered plate, proceed to feed, crush the wings.
Eat the wings.
And then when they're done,
peel the saran wrap off of the plate, revealing a still completely clean plate.
And then do what with the plate?
Put it right back on the stack.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And I thought it was genius.
Yeah, I would have called the health department.
I gave her a big thumbs up. I was like, that is awesome.
Major violation there.
Dibs on that plate. I'd like to taste some of your hot buffalo breath.
Hell, that first of all, it's for what?
Loved
to,
it.
To keep one plate clean? One. How long does it take to wash one plate?
Hours.
10 seconds?
Hours at least. You're going to do both sides.
I'm with Speaks. That's some sort of health code violation.
Oh, hell yeah, it is.
It's disgusting, and it's an unnecessary life hack. I would have not applauded. Did you really applaud her and be like, hey, that's pretty cool?
Oh, I immediately.
I would have been like, what the? What are you doing?
I leaned across the bar with my skeletal finger and was like, that was awesome! And like, yeah, it's just how we keep plates clean, not car, whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. By the way, they had full access to paper-filled baskets, like the kind that a chicken tender basket will come in. Not sure why they didn't go with one of those.
Write down what place it was, I do not want to go there.
I'll write it down. Right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, come on, man.
I love it.
No.
I'm a big, big fan. Yes.
So you wouldn't mind if your food came out and it was on that plate?
I actually wouldn't have minded if my food that was coming out was directly on that plate. I would have requested that plate. Had I gotten food, you put my meatloaf right there on that plate, your hot breath plate.
Ugh.
And it just got me thinking about life hacks. Like, what are some other life hacks? Someone showed me how when you got a bunch of cables that are all like super tangled up and stuff, like phone chargers, like these guys right here for an iPhone, they're the perfect width and depth for a Lego person hand, where you can use Lego people hands to hold these things in place, and then you stick like a Lego guy on the counter, and it looks like he's holding up two cables.
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
I got one from my house. I have bird seed and in a bag, and after I open it, I roll up the top, you know, to seal it nice.
Gotcha.
And I shove it up against the wall, and then I put something hard behind it, like something hard.
Rock hard.
Yeah, and to keep it close to the wall so a mouse or something doesn't get into it. Not that I have mice.
Get into the seed.
And not that I find droppings in my kitchen, but that's what I do to keep my seed safe.
Josh has got mice. So let me ask you again, if we're grabbing opinions about stuff, gross or genius? We're talking life hacks. Mm-hmm. And I saw a bartender here. I'll show you where, but I won't say
gross
where.
Or genius.
You've been here before. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you have. All right.
Many times.
I saw a waitress behind the bar. She orders herself food.
This must not be good if he wrote the name of the place down to show it to me.
Yep. I thought it was genius.
Well, he thinks it's genius. I don't think it's so genius.
Let's go.
Okay. So she gets herself food, and then she gets wings, she gets a plate out, and puts saran wrap over the plate. When the guy comes from the back with a basket of wings, puts it on the saran wrap plate, she eats. When she's done, pulls the saran wrap off, plate's clean, she puts it back on the stack.
Oh, huh? How come everybody doesn't do
it's
that?
It's beautiful,
yeah,
right? It's
I'm
super gross,
tonight.
But I love it. I'm honestly, you'd never have to do dishes again, Josh.
Yeah, maybe at home, okay, but like not in an established.
I wash off
some
toilet
juice
paper.
Get on the plate. And
yeah,
get in there.
Oh,
juice.
I will say, full coverage, full coverage on the plate. There was no gap on either side.
How about a paper plate?
Yeah, okay, you should have done that. Or you should have just not eaten off a customer's plate, but I thought it was fascinating.
That is really cool. Here's another one for you. Rubbing a little dish soap on your glasses, so if you go outside and come in, do you do that?
You
don't fog up. You're not fogging up.
Does that work?
Soap, a little soap, and then you wipe it off so you can still see through it. It's not bubbling up.
Oh,
you mean like the
little Dawn or something?
Oh. Palm olive.
Really?
Palm olive, you're soaking in it.
Okay.
And then you go in and out, and you're not going to fog up.
Oh, interesting.
Wow,
I'll have to try that.
Fogging A, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Since we're hacking.
Yeah, I saw this too. I'm looking at a list of these life hacks. You take a key ring from one of your sets of keys.
Right.
If you got a dead zipper, one of those zippers that sort of lost its grip.
Yes.
And you hook it from the top. Oh, where's it at? Hook it from the top of the zipper
around your
up
button.
To the button. Uh-huh. You'll never
your
have
zipper
your,
won't go down.
Your stallion come flying out again. So Scott's tripping all over the damn thing.
There's a new one too.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, the most classic one, the most classic life hack of all time has to be the I can't have mom and dad have me smelling a spliff
So you make the magic wand with the dryer sheet.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. You blow it into the like the tube of
paper towel roll,
paper towel tube
with some
dryer sheets,
right.
And you just
in there.
I didn't see that move until I was deep into my 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, that was the move in college.
I didn't see that move until my dad showed it to me. Because I come from filth. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
This one says bounce batteries to see if they're good or bad. Drop them from about 6 inches above a table. If they give one small bounce and fall right over, they're good. If they bounce any more than that, they're dead.
Is
batteries
that real?
Bounce. I don't know.
Does a fresh battery bounce?
We should touch them on our tongue, the 9-volt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Make sure it was all good.
Give you a little zap.
Yeah.